بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When Shaitan was rejected, he vowed that he will mislead mankind in every possible way. بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم. And then he also added, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَ شَاكِرِينَ. You won't find most of them to be grateful, showing gratitude and appreciation. Then Allah Ta'ala says further, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ. The shaitan had an opinion about mankind, and that was that they won't be grateful. So this opinion that he had, he found that to be true. He found that to be right. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. So one simple way to close the access of shaitan, the pathways of shaitan, avenues of shaitan attacking you, is to be grateful. Because he says, I will mislead them, and how I will mislead them? I will mislead them because they won't have gratitude, they won't be grateful, so it will be easy for me to mislead them. It won't be a big task, it won't be a difficult thing to mislead them, because they won't have gratitude. So the way to break the pathways, the avenues of shaitan, is to show gratitude, to be grateful. In this month of Ramadan, whether we are sitting in i'tikaf or not sitting in i'tikaf, then this is amongst the things that we need to train ourselves in. That I've come here on account of the abundant favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are pouring upon me all the time. So many favors, favors upon favors, favors upon favors. I can't even enumerate them, I can't even count them. So on account of these numerous favors of Allah Ta'ala upon me, I've come here so that I can learn how to be grateful. I am not grateful. I don't have that appreciation. I don't have that gratitude in me. Now I've come to learn how to be grateful. So this must be the outlook, this must be the mindset. Sometimes we read incidents of some awliya-i-kiram and buzrugan-e-deen, and in the course of the ibadat, they have some strange experience. Someone sees some good dreams, or someone begins to see jannat, or someone has a glitter on his face. And these type of things happen to some awliya-i-kiram. So then we are looking forward and searching for these type of things. Whereas this is not what you are supposed to be looking for, not for a dream, not for something that is not normally seen, and not for a feature that is not the desired thing. It comes. If it didn't come, then it's not a train smash, it's not any harm in your side. But what will be harmful, did you focus on the fact that you have so much of gratitude to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? That is what you want to be questioned about. Whether you had the dream or not, Allah is going to question you. Whether some strange occurrence took place or not, that's not going to be asked. Something not common, it didn't take place, so you're not going to be asked about that. But what you're going to be asked about is, did you show gratitude? Were you grateful? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. you're going to be asked about the favors, my favors I have showered upon you, then how grateful I were you over those favors. So this must be the cornerstone. This is what I'm doing. To learn to be grateful, to learn gratitude, to learn to be appreciative. We think of big, big things, great things, but we don't realize that this is really the great thing, to be able to be grateful. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. You see, Allah Pak praises some of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and what word he uses, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. He was a grateful servant. He was a grateful servant. So this was the theme of that Nabi's life, for Allah Ta'ala to be praising him in that way. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Right through he was doing tabligh or whatever else. Allah Pak didn't praise him in this way. He should see very good dreams, and he used to see malaika, and he had very strange experiences, unique experiences that others didn't have. So Allah Ta'ala didn't praise him in that way. If Allah Ta'ala praised him in this way, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. So overall, then there are two things that you have to learn here. One is servitude, and one is gratitude. One is servitude, abd, and shakur, gratitude. So what it means to be the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you become the true servant of Allah ta'ala? That is what you need to learn. And the second thing is, what will make us grateful? How do we become grateful? How do we become thankful, appreciate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does it require of us to be like that? So these are the two things in the whole exercise, our whole experiment, our whole sitting here, or those that are not even sitting here, then this is what they're supposed to be looking at, whether they're making khatam of the Quran Sharif, they're making zikr, tasbihat, durood sharif, or whatever else they are doing, whatever else they are involved in and engaged in, then this is what they need to look at. Have we learned servitude? Have we learned what it is to be a slave? Have we learned to be grateful? So this is how we're supposed to be looking at the whole picture. Are we learning this? Every coming day, every coming second, is it bringing me, is it giving me that realization, that understanding of servitude, understanding of being a true slave, understanding what it is to be appreciative? Is it teaching me that? If it's teaching you that, then alhamdulillah, then praise upon that. Then that demands a great applaud. Alhamdulillah, you're on the track, you're on the cause, you're following the right. But if that is not happening, then you are in a very dangerous predicament, in a dangerous position, because you lost, you don't know where you are going. Now, many a times these type of problems happen. Why? Because we don't understand this whole suluk. Most of us, some zikr, tasbihat, carry on, we don't understand it. One fundamental thing is, you have a sheikh, you have a one that is guiding you. Now you look at the incidents from before till now, you'll find everybody that thread this part, he had someone to guide him. Whether it was Hasan Basri rahmatullahi, whether it was Fuzail ibn Iyaz, whether it was Junaid Baghdadi, whether it was Shaqiq Balkhi, whether it was Hatim Asam, whoever it was, but they had someone to guide them. So the first thing that is required, that you need someone to guide you all the time. So when you found a guide, first you need to look for a guide. You need to look for a guide. This person, is he qualified enough? Is he sufficient? Is it the proper thing for me to take him as my guide? Right. So you've seen him, inspected him very well. What were the criteria of a guide? You've seen that criteria is in him. You saw the criteria in him. Now that you saw the criteria in him, now what is the second step? Then, according to all these awliya kiram, all of them, they unanimously agreed, then the second step is tawheed matlab. Then your mind must be just focused on him. Then let your mind not drift away, let me go and take something from here, I'll get something from here as well, and something from there as well, and then I will get that picture right. See? So his mind must not be then scattered. Mustn't be scattered in various other things. Therefore they say, all of them say the same, that if the person's mind is scattered, then the Shaykh is not concerned about him, and they further say that Allah Ta'ala is also not concerned about him, then he can go and ruin himself, he can go and destroy himself in whichever jungle he wants to. Allah Ta'ala also is not concerned about him. Why is it? Now you go and analyze this. Why is it that Allah Ta'ala is not concerned about him? Because he is not appreciative of what he's got. One person is sitting in the company of Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and then he begins to see certain things, and then he wonders, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh also has got Ruhaniyat. He's got so much of Ruhani strength, right? So much of spiritual strength and might he's got. And this other Shaykh also has got so much of strength. Now who's greater? This one here or that one? So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh picked it up, because this is what his mind is wondering over. So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh told him, so you got no business to go and wonder in this manner. For our understanding, two Buzuganadin have got two tanks, like two tanks. What you need to see, the tank that your Shaykh has got, is it sufficient to see to your requirement or not? That's what you need to see. You don't need to see that whose tank is greater. This one got 500 million and this one got 200 million. So you're looking at that, then you'll get lost, right? But what you need to see is the tank that he's got, is that tank sufficient for your need or not? Your need is maybe 1 liter or 2 liter of love you've got. You need, right? And what he's got is a tank that is 500 million liters or 200 million liters. So you don't need to see now whose tank is greater, this one here or that one. But what you need to definitely see is what he has got, what he contains, is it sufficient to see to my needs or not? If you've seen that, and then you won't have any confusion afterwards. Otherwise, now today you'll see someone with 200 million, then you'll see someone with 500, then you'll see with someone with a billion liters, then you start having remorse and regrets. I need to take something from here also, I need to take something from here as well. So then the Shaykh also begins to perceive that this is what this person's mindset is like. When he perceives that, then he lets him lose or carry on. You carry on, go as you want, you can go, you can wander around, right? So when you're going to wander around, now you're not by the Shaykh, you're not by this side, where are you then? One person, Sahib Rahmatullah explained, you had passed that Ambala. So one person had a Shaykh. So he thought to himself, you know, this Shaykh of mine is living in Ambala, and Ambala is a very mountainous land. It's a mountainous land, and now I'm getting a little bit aged, so I have to climb up once a year so high up the mountains, get to meet him, and then come back. But now the better thing is that I've got a Shaykh in my own district. I've got a Shaykh in my own town. So the Shaykh that I've got in my own town, he's deceased, he's dead. I will just benefit from him. So what I was supposed to be getting from my Shaykh in Ambala, I will get it just here. I don't have to take that additional effort to go right up to Ambala and draw from him. Rather, one that is in my town, I'll just go and draw from him once or twice in the year. That will substitute. It's a good substitute. So he's thinking like this, and then in this thought of his, he reaches up to Ambala. The Shaykh picks it up that this is the thought that is passing his mind. So the Shaykh says, oh, you know what, you're getting aged now, so there is a Buzurg that is buried there in your town. Why don't you just pay a visit to him? Inshallah, you will benefit from him. So he got very happy, excited in his heart, in his mind. I didn't even have to mention it to my Shaykh, and my Shaykh recommended it, so now everything is on. Everything is on par. Now, he comes to that Shaykh of his, that Buzurg that is buried there in the town. He spends some time there, 1 day, 2 days. Now he's getting up for tahajjud. As he just started, commence at tahajjud, now he hears that person of the grave, that Buzurg of the grave saying, you know, my son's horse that thing requires some fodder, go and get some fodder and bring it to his horse. So he left his namaz, he went to get that fodder for the horse. And again he started off, he read 2 rakat namaz, and now he's enjoying the zikr and all that. Then he has a voice again, that voice saying, you know, the stable is not clean, it's full of dung and all that, so go and clean the stable. So now he left his namaz, went for the second time, now he's cleaning the stable. Then again he's engaging himself in zikr. So he said, now my son needs some water, and can't you draw some water from the well and bring it for him? Now, by now, you got frustrated. He said, that was still better. Once a year, I needed to climb that hill station, and that was over. Yeah, every second step now, go and do this, 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 go and do this. So he got frustrated. He went back to his sheikh in Ambala. So the sheikh said, now he warned him, cautioned him, "By leave all your thoughts wandering, just stay one place, and just focus, otherwise you won't get benefit this way nor that way." Okay? She is wandering mind. So that's what they say, that after you have found a sheikh, then the most important thing is then tawheed matlab. They say it in different ways. Either they say tawheed matlab or any other word that they use, but the meaning is the same. Then you need to feel convinced. What is tawheed matlab? You need to feel convinced that there may be other mashayikh with similar kamal and greatness like my sheikh. There may be other mashayikh also, there may be other buzurgan al-deen, but I will derive my benefit and my solution I will get from him. I don't need to go anywhere else, I will just remain here, I will remain stuck here and I will get my need from him. You don't have to run down other mashayikh and try and make a comparison with your sheikh and other sheikhs and try and run down one and try and elevate the other. You don't have to get involved in that exercise. All you need to do is then, you need to feel convinced that my matlab, my zaruwat, my need will be fulfilled by here, by this buzurg. There may be other mashayikh also that have got similar kamal, but my need will be fulfilled here. Bas. Okay. So this actually applies in other things as well. In medicine as well. Now, you're going by one doctor and you're half-hearted there. Your mind is not fully satisfied with the doctor. Then you go to another doctor. Mind is not very satisfied there again. Then the third doctor. If these doctors pick it up, okay, this person is going by me and trying this person out and trying the third doctor, is experimenting on everybody else, they won't show any affection to him. No, he's experimenting us. He doesn't have that confidence in us. He doesn't have the trust in us. So we don't need to show him any love and attention. Why should we show him that attention when he is not attentive towards us? He is the one that is in need. When he is the one that is in need, then he needs to have his confidence and faith in us. Then you find another patient, right? So he's got one doctor, he may not be very intelligent, but he's got the confidence in him, he's got the trust in him, and the doctor shows a small medication because of his trust, because of his confidence, is working out very fine, very well for him. He's got the confidence, he's got the trust in him, he's got the respect for him. The doctor show him, take this. So he's not saying, hey, this is Panadol, Panadol, I can get it from the chemist down the road. Are you giving me this thing here? So he's got that type of trust, he built that confidence in him. So when he built it up, so that medication, as simple and insignificant as it may be, but it will work for him. Like how you hear of a water injection working for a patient. Why? It's working for him because he's got the confidence, he's got the respect, he's got the trust. He's built up that type of bond with the doctor, and then the thing is working for him. So the same here. So we need to have this. I feel many a times when I look at our South African conditions, then I feel that this is the thing that is lacking. This is the reason perhaps why we can't progress how we need to progress. We don't have that level of tawheed and matlab. You're doing your own thing and listening to the sheikh also, or even kitab and see one karamat there, and then some wazifa this side here, and something else. So the whole mix-up, the whole thing is muddled up. So I explained today, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, that it's just 2 things that you need to be focusing on. Innahu kana abdan shakura. Learn servitude and learn gratitude. So why we are here? or we engage in ibadat, whether it is now in i'tikaf or out of i'tikaf, Ramadan or out of Ramadan, whether we in madrasa or in our business, then how should our minds be molded in this way, that I came to learn servitude, and I came to learn gratitude, two things, to be a true servant of Allah Ta'ala and to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala, to be a true servant of Allah Ta'ala and to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. This is what I've come for, right? So if you keep that in your mind, then inshallah your focus will be right, your goal will be right. Allah Ta'ala, on His end, Allah Ta'ala will inspire you as well. It's not that Allah Ta'ala won't inspire you, He'll inspire you. But you keep your focus right. Like I explained just now, that you see all these Anbiya alayhi salam, then Allah Ta'ala is praising them. Right? Innahu kana abdan shakura. Right? So do you see anywhere in the Quran Sharif where Allah Ta'ala says that this slave, this Nabi had beautiful dreams. So therefore he's excellent. And this Nabiya, he had very beautiful experiences, supernatural experiences he had. Do you hear about it? You don't see. If it is spoken about those supernatural experiences, it's by the way. But what Allah Ta'ala speaks about greatly about them is the achievement. What was the achievement? وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Right. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the supernatural experience with his mother, etc. But when he speaks about the man himself, then this is how he says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا, or Nabi, that is not within the volition of man, but Siddiq. And Siddiq, you come after you've learned what is gratitude, after you've learned to be abd, then you become a Siddiq. You can't become a Siddiq without learning to be being an abd. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا إِنَّهُ كَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. Alright, Rasul and Nabi is not within our choice, but Siddiq, Abd, Shakur, these are all things that are within our choice, within our reach. So this is how our whole mind should be in it. Am I showing the gratitude? Am I showing servitude? Am I showing gratitude? Am I showing servitude? Is that my focus? Is that what is in my mind? Or is there something else in my mind? Now, any incident happens, then in that incident, I need to analyze that I'm a slave. When I'm a slave, then I don't have the right to be selective. Yeah, this must happen like this, and this must happen like this, and the food must be like this, and it mustn't be like this. Gee. So I'm a slave. When I'm a slave, then have I got the right to be selective? I don't have the right to be selective. You have a small mama or a maid or someone working for you. So he says, no, boss, this is not right, not right. So you will tell him. Once you will listen to his complaint, and after that you will tell him, you know, but if you don't like the job, then you move it. Don't you say so much. So imagine if Allah Ta'ala were to tell us this much, you keep complaining, quit complaining, Allah Pak has to say us, right, you like it, then you remain my servant, otherwise you move it, go look for some other god. Right? So what happens to you then? Here, that person can still look for another job. Here, can you find anybody else, any substitute for Allah Ta'ala, na'uzubillah? Can you find anything? You can't find. So we need to reason. What was this whole exercise about? Whether, whether in i'tikaf, out of i'tikaf, in a madrasa, in our mundane life, in our personal life, then what is it? What are we looking for? Are we just swimming and floating out there aimlessly? Or have you got some goals? And if you have got some goals, then are they the right goals or the wrong goals? Is it something that is just the excitement of our minds? It's something that our mind is excited about, is a novelty, or is it something that is concrete? What is it? What is it? So this is what we're supposed to be looking at, abdan shakura. That Allah makes us like this, grants us the understanding of abdiyat, grants us the understanding of shakur and abdiyat. Now you've got abdiyat in you, you've got shakur in you. If you are shakur, then shaitan can't find roadways towards you, pathways towards you, you can't find. Because Shaitan already so told Allah Ta'ala that وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. So now you got shakur, you closed Shaitan's avenues towards you. You closed Shaitan's avenues towards you, right? Because you became shakur. And the second thing, you learned abdiyat. When you learned abdiyat, so when you learned abdiyat, then you felt that you are a non-entity. You are just a slave, right? When you are just a slave, then you cannot call the shots. It's someone else that must prevail over you. It's someone else that must run your life. It's someone else that must administer all your moves. So when you learned abdiyat, then you have, so as to say, suppressed the nafs. Because the nafs wants its way. And you say to the nafs, no, you don't have your way. You are a slave. When you are a slave, then there is someone that will run your affairs. You understand? There will be someone that will be running your affairs. Because you are a slave. Abd. When you are an abd, then you don't run your affairs. You don't decide. You don't make any selections and choices. You can't call the shots. There's someone above you that will call the shots. He will select, he will choose, he will decide, he will program the whole thing for you. So you just put yourself into his program. All you need to do is just conform to his program. So now when you have done this, when you have learned abdiyat, then really what you have learned how to suppress the nafs. So one is shaitan. These are the two oppositions that you have got. Shaitan is the one opposition, and the second opposition is your nafs. So you will break the roads of shaitan by showing gratitude. You will break the roads of shaitan by showing gratitude. Whatever came your way, alhamdulillah, more than what I deserve, more than what I could imagine, what I could expect, what I could have had, then it's more than that. I was there in India. Not India, in fact, was here. One India Alim was here. So he was explaining me that he was in Hardoi with Hazrat Mawlana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So there were some guests that came from abroad, and they had gone to meet Mawlana Abrarul Sahib. Now this Alim here, he was there by Mawlana Abrarul Sahib for some time. Maybe 2 months, 3 months, he was there already in the khidmat. And this group of guests had come in just now. So as they came in, so they came to meet Mawlana. So this Alim that was there, now he joined the group to come and meet Mawlana. So Mawlana asked, "Aapki kya khususiyat hai? What's so special about you that you came to meet me with this entire group?" In other words, this entire group had come to meet because they are new, right? They had a reason to come and meet. What was the reason? They had just come in. They had come in, so they had to meet. But you are here already. When you are here, then why did you join this entire entourage to come and meet me? Understood? So that means that you want some type of khususiyat. What? You want to be something special than the rest of the crowd. You want to be something special. Now this is pride. See, you being selective, you want it. See, the rest of the crowd is doing one thing. So you want something that is unique from the rest of the crowd, something special, something different from the rest of the crowd. They haven't got the right to meet. They aren't meeting, and I'm coming to meet. So I've got one above them. So now this is that backbone of pride, you see. That backbone of pride, of arrogance, that needs to be crushed on. So Mu'adh corrected him straight away. Aapki kya khususiyat hai? You know, you've got a sheikh like that, then Islah comes very quickly. So, jao, or 200 rakat namaz, padh lo. For that mistake, now go and read 200 rakat namaz. If you were a sheikh like that, what will happen? One day's time, Islah will happen. Islah will happen, and it will happen two's, it will happen very quickly. But we don't come with that determination, we don't come with that heart. Therefore, this Islah thing comes very, very long. Very complicated, takes very long. If the Shaykh really one time going to read 200 rakat, 200 namaz, I don't know how many wasawis will come in your heart, in that 200 rakat namaz. He's the only shaykh in the world, what he thinks of himself. He's got too much of tawazu. So all the type of wasabis will come in your heart. So you understand, this is where we go wrong. We go wrong here is we feel that we are something special and we need something more than the rest of the crowd. We need to be treated differently. We are special. We've got something more than what others have got. So we deserve something more than what others deserve. See? So this is against abdiyat. See, when you've got abdiyat, then you won't think like this. You'll feel, hey, I just came to learn to be a slave here. Am I doing anything wrong? I need to understand if I'm doing anything wrong. And what will take me out of the parameters of slavery, then I need to understand it very quickly. What will take me out from the precincts of gratitude, I need to learn it very quickly. So all the moves are directed, all the moves are thought of in that way. So you're living in a khanqa, and if you have this type of a common theme in your mind, then very quickly you'll find that the islah is done. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. I showed you abd, and I showed you shakur, right? Abd, I showed you why you will break the roads of nafs in abdiyat. And shukur, the Quran Sharif says it, that you are thankful, then you will definitely break shaitan's roads. Right? You are thankful to your wife. Right? For example, you are a wife, and you are very thankful, very grateful for her. So your mind is not going to wander in other haram things now. Right? Your mind is not going to wander in any other haram thing. You are thankful about her. So when you're thankful about her now, you won't think, hey, I got married to this girl here, and she'll have another girl. Your mind is not going to wander in other things. You will think in a different way, hey, I'm fortunate to have a girl like this. You know, I'm fortunate to have a girl like this. A stupid thing like me, and I've got a wife like this. Then, say, imagine that if they had just valued me according to my stupidity, then I won't even have this wife in my nikah. Now, with my weakness and everything else, and I've got this wife here, so I must be more than thankful. And you look at it differently. But if you look at it the other way around, hey, I'm so smart, you know. I'm so smart, and I'm Mr. So-and-so, Fundan Marva, or whatever. And then, I have got this type of a kebab by me, in my nikah. She can't even... simple thing, she can't do right. She doesn't know how to behave, she doesn't know how to talk. So now you look for the uyub all the time, all the weaknesses all the time. When you look for the weaknesses all the time, then you will, within yourself, you will never feel happy. That's apart from the shukr, but you will never feel happy. Right? And if you look at it positively, you know, I'm so weak, but I've got such a good woman that is in my nikah, you know, that is in my nikah, and now you look at the whole picture differently. So you, every coming day, coming moment, and you're showing more thanks. You are being more grateful. So your mind doesn't wander around in haram. Similarly, other things as well, a food, second day now, this kari khichdi again. Kari khichdi now, this people here, they don't know anything else but kari khichdi. Every day kari khichdi. Now if you allow your mind to think in a different way, you know, there's people that are suffering out there, no food. Look at Somalia and whichever other country, they don't have any food. Yeah, it's specially prepared, it's fresh, and it's done so well. The need for the eating is to remove the hunger, and this is sufficient to remove the hunger, more than sufficient to remove. It's got taste, it's got a color, it's got some excitement in it. So now why must I complain about it? Many people don't even enjoy this. I've got something to remove the pangs of hunger. I've got it. So now your mind will not go in any other direction. You're not going to fight with anybody. You're not going to fight with the wife. You're not going to fight with the person that prepared the food. You're not going to fight with yourself. Hey, can't you buy some better food now? So you don't have a fight with anybody. So you see now you're closing the roads of shaitan. Shaitanic road is to fight. He wants you to fight. He wants to embroil you. He wants to get you into some dispute, you know, get you into some quarrel. So you close his roads. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. So you see this verse of the Quran Sharif. If we just make it the theme of our life, the cornerstone of our life, you'll see the whole this whole exercise will go very beautifully. No problem. No problem with anybody. No problem with yourself. And you will learn the real goals, the true goals you will learn. You will learn the true goals. Understand? Now, these things only come, they don't come just by discussion. See, now this is a discussion, we are discussing this, right? Now, you are confronted with day-to-day real life. In your day-to-day real life, now you have to apply this again, alright? This thing came about, I didn't expect this. There's a big problem here today. Again, you see, now I'm a slave, right? The slave is, what is the task, what is the duty of the slave? Slave won't make things happen. He won't make things happen. Yes. But if there is any problem that comes up, then he must go and help, see what he can do. Right? So now, when you have a boss attitude, no, it must happen. This must happen. And a slave attitude, no, I must go and help. I must see what I can do. Right? It's my boss's shop. That thing is burning down, for example. So, I'm not responsible for this whole fire. So I must see now how I can help out to extinguish this. So I will do my best to try and extinguish the whole fire. But if it burnt out, then I'm not stressing about the whole thing. I tried my best. What I could do, I will try. I will do my level best. I will not abandon the effort. And I won't pretend as though I'm the boss here. I won't. These are both extremes. If I'm going to pretend as though I'm the boss here, then as though I'm responsible for everything. So I'm not totally responsible. Yes, what my boss will want me to do, have you tried your best? In that situation, did you try your best? You tried your best, well, you don't worry about anything beyond that. See, when Maulana was here, he's teaching Bukhari Sharif, etc. So he was explaining now, Muhaddisin and what Kamalat, they got what were kitabs they've written. This Muhaddis, he knew about 70,000, 100,000. And this one year, he wrote kitabs that were even better than Ibn Hajar Rahmatullah's kitab, whatever else. But now his question was then, why is he not so popular? Is it because he didn't get acceptance? That was his question. That he wrote so many kitabs, his kitab was better than Ibn Hajar's. Ibn Hajar is about the most well-known in the science of hadith. Then when he wrote a kitab, right, that was even greater than Ibn Hajar's kitab, then why is he not known? Why is he not popular? Was it that he's not accepted by Allah Ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala put in my mind. So I told him, the hadith in Muslim Sharif says that Rasulullah saw Anbiya, various Anbiya, and their following. And in that, it says, وَنَبِيٌ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ. And I saw some Nabis, and there is no following. The Nabi, as great as he may be, right, as great as he is, but he's got absolutely no following. Right? So, will you say now that the Nabi is rejected? No, he's not rejected. He's got his acceptance. He's got his acceptance. So, exactly the same. Why should we say that this Muhaddis is rejected and not accepted, and this one is more popular, so he's accepted? Why should we say that? Why should we put our 2 cents and spoil his name? Are we the ones to decide that he's accepted or rejected? We don't know about that. That Allah Pak knows that who's accepted more and who's accepted less. Yes, our guman is that Allah Pak has accepted him. But to say that this person is rejected, not accepted, that's not our duty, not our work. Yes, did we try? What Allah Pak will ask, did you try your level best when you saw that this problem is taking place? Did you try your best? You tried your best, alhamdulillah, very good. After that, beyond that, don't worry about things. Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayh, says, one day he missed his tahajjud namaz. So the second day, he made all the arrangements to get up for tahajjud. After making all the arrangements, he missed out fajr namaz as well. So if one of us would have happened, I must have done wrong here, I did this wrong here, that wrong. So he says, فَوَسْتُ فَاسْتَرَحْتُ. Then I understood, okay, what was missing in me is I didn't assign that affair to Allah Ta'ala. I make the arrangements, not that I don't make arrangements, brief arrangements, but in the brief arrangements, what I need to do and what I didn't do was I didn't assign this whole thing to Allah Ta'ala. So little arrangements I should have made, and then I should have assigned this whole thing to Allah Ta'ala. He says, then I assigned it to Allah Ta'ala, then at last, at length, then I was at ease. So we learn this abdiyat in this manner, you see. The little steps of reformation, correction you will take, and then you will assign your affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave it to Him afterwards. So one is to abandon the effort, that is also shaitanic, and one is now to overdo it, there also you can become a victim of frustration or despondency, because you did it to the best now, and then it was not happening. You did everything to the best, you know, to the level best you did everything, and then too you didn't see things working out the way you were desired, right? Everybody did it, and they seeing things working out for them. Right? They saw that dream and they saw whatever else. But I'm doing everything, I'm not seeing anything happening. Others are doing it and things are working out for them. And I'm doing it, I don't see anything working out for me. So either you'll become despondent or you'll become frustrated. One of the two will happen. And both you are playing in the network of shaitan. Either you become frustrated or you become despondent, you are playing in the network of shaitan. No, I did what I supposed to do. I'm trying my best. Right? And I ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness also for any shortcomings. I don't say I did the best. I tried, right? My broken effort, Allah Ta'ala, you forgive me. But I tried, not that I didn't try at all. These people that strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala. مَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. That forgive our sins. In our whole exercise, if we had made a mistake, إِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. In the whole exercise, in other words, in our effort, if we have made any mistakes, Allah Ta'ala, do forgive it. Do forgive our mistakes. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقُومِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So this is how your mind is supposed to be. Al Mu'attami Sahib Rahmatullahi, he recommends this procedure, this method he recommends. And why he recommends this path of moderation is for the same reason, is the one that goes very high and he remains like that. He tries and he struggles very much, you know, and he remains like that. So what happens to him is then he becomes demanding. I did this, I did this, I did this, and why is there nothing forthcoming? So that's against abdiyat. That is against abdiyat. He tried and he is now demanding that why isn't anything forthcoming? One person used to receive one pomegranate each day, every day. One pomegranate is received, and for approximately 200 or 300 years, uninterrupted ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. One way, ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, 200 years, uninterrupted. Now he died, so Allah Ta'ala announced it to him that just because of my fazl, my grace, announce his forgiveness. That you have gained your forgiveness just on account of my grace. So he's complaining to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, what about this 100 or 200 years of uninterrupted ibadat? Or you want the recompense and you want the remuneration for your ibadat, all right? So what we need to ask you is that one pomegranate that you were receiving every day, then where's the payment for that? Where's the payment for that? And then Allah Pak commanded the malaika, take him right at the doorstep of Jahannam. Right? Just leave him there. Now he's thirsty, he's dying with thirst. So he's begging for water. So Allah Pak says, all right, you know that 200 years of ibadah that you have done, right? In lieu of that, we give you some water. Now give him some water. Now, everything is squared. 200 years of uninterrupted ibadat, and there one cup of water. So that squares the whole thing. The whole equation has been squared. Now what? Now you're still suffering at the same spot. So when a person exerts himself too much he exerts himself, then he becomes demanding. But the person that works with moderation, then he thinks to himself, Allah, I didn't do much. Allah, forgive me. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't do how I was supposed to be doing. See, I've got a lot of weaknesses within me. So he is acknowledging his weakness. He is not proud of his service, rather he is ashamed of himself. Now what is better? The one that is proud of his service or the one that is ashamed? No, Allah Ta'ala, I didn't do how I was supposed to be doing. Allah Ta'ala, I fell short in your service. What your grandeur and your majesty, what it deserves of us, I didn't do that much. I tried, but I didn't do like how I was supposed to be doing it. So what is better? One is now he's proud about his service. I rendered this service for you. I rendered this as though he was doing a favor to Allah Ta'ala. And here this person is ashamed of his service. So what is better? The Allah says, obviously the one that is ashamed of himself, then he is better. He's ashamed. He's working, but he still feels ashamed. And he is very much similar to this Mujahideen. مَا كَانَ قَوْلًا إِلَّا أَنْ قَالَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. Rasulullah's last words as he's leaving this world, Allahumma اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي. Allahumma اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي. Right? Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. His words went, oh Allah Ta'ala, I served you, you know, for this, all my life I served you. I didn't fall into your disobedience. So now, Allah Ta'ala, I need to know what you're going to give me now. Okay, what are you going to give me now? Open it up to me now. That wasn't the words. The words were, Allahumma اغْفِرْ لِي. Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. So a person that works with moderation, then there's a lot of afiat in him. He doesn't become a prey of shaitan. He doesn't fall into despondency. He doesn't fall into frustration. And further to that, he doesn't become the victim of his nafs. He doesn't become a victim of his nafs. But provided you work. Now, moderation doesn't mean I don't work. You must strive. Strive, still you strive. Strive, even more you will strive. But you will still think, oh, I feel still fell short. I didn't do as I supposed to be doing. So, to compensate for that, you'll make istighfar, and then you end it up. You still feel within yourself that I didn't do as I supposed to be doing. So Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. Who could be greater than Aisha radiallahu anha? Then, for the compensation, after all the whole Ramadan is passed, and for the compensation, Rasulullah teaches her, innaka afoon. Right? Ask this dua. So if your mind is like this, you know that no, I still fell short and I need to be forgiven. I didn't do as I supposed to be doing. Then you are working or you are on the cause, on the cause of the sunnat. But if you have that approach, that demanding approach, I did this, why am I not getting any favor? Everybody else is getting, why am I not getting? Then you have drifted actually. You have drifted from that cause of the sunnah, from that way. So, if we didn't make our minds, then now from now onwards, this is how we need to train our minds. Two things I spoke about today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. One is abdiyat and one is shukr. And number two, I explained what every person requires. You need a sheikh. Then I explained by the grace of Allah Ta'ala what is tawheed matlab, right? And in the absence of tawheed matlab, I explained that forget the shirk losing interest in you, even Allah Ta'ala loses interest in you. I was looking in Imdad al-Suluk, saw it several times, I've seen it. It says that Allah Ta'ala ko bhi parwa nahi ke kis jungle mein jaakar ke halak ho jaye. Even Allah Pak is not concerned ke in which desert you can go and destroy yourself. You're not worried. Because he's not showing the level of respect and gratitude to the person that is guiding him. So Allah Pak is also bothered about him. So you just hold on firmly. And then in your mind you think, for my work, this person is more than sufficient. Like I say, everybody's got tanks, right? My own work and training has got a tank, right? So you don't need to see now whose tank is greater. Yes, you need to see that is his tank sufficient for my need? And you're going to see now his tank is 100,000 and he's 1 million and he's 10 billion. Then this variation you'll see all the time. But if you see, you look at it in a different way, you know, it's more than sufficient for my need, then you'll be very appreciative of the person. You'll be very appreciative of the person. So this is how you need to see it, this is how you need to view it. See? Like, there is a corner shop, right? And it's carrying all what you need. It's everything that you need, it's carrying it. whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whether it is medication, whatever else, it's carrying everything. And the price is also good. Here and there you may have 1-2 cents variation, right? And there is a mall. The mall got much more. If he's got one sugar, then he's got 1,000 parcels of sugar. He's got one rice, then he's got thousands of packets of rice. Same rice is the same. Rice here and rice here. Now, does it make sense that you leave this corner shop and go to the mall? Same rice he's selling, same rice that one is selling. Yes, he's got in greater quantity. But you can do your shopping here as well. So then why do you leave the shop here and why do you go there? See? So now you think when you select a sheikh after that, then don't see now who's greater and who's not greater. That's not your business. Don't say all this, don't make this statement, it's just stupid statement now. He's the greatest in the world, not of else. It's all stupidity. That is all stupidity, it's all exaggeration. Who's great and who's not great, Allah Pak knows. Allah Pak's work, you don't interfere. Why must we interfere in Allah Pak's work? Yes, in my understanding, I feel he's the best for me. That's enough. But who's great and all that, and who's greatest, that is Allah Pak's work. He'll pass the judgment. Right? If Allah Pak's shown it to some buzurg, then that's between him and that buzurg. Right? But as far as we are concerned, we are not shown, and we don't know, we don't have the type of eyes. Our simple approach is, for my need, I feel that this is the best person. Finish. So you're interfering in Allah Pak's work, making this type of statements. Okay. Allah Pak doesn't like this type of things. Your exaggeration. لَا تُتْرُونِي كَمَا أَطْرَتْ النَّصَارَ إِسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. Don't exaggerate. Don't exaggerate in praising your sheikh, whoever else. Like how the Christians had done. Like I say, if Allah Pak had shown it to someone, he mentioned it, but it's enough. And he also mustn't keep on singing that song. He mentioned it to 1-2 people, enough. Why keep on talking about it? You cannot keep on talking about it. That means what it will amount to, it will amount to this as though other people's mashayikh are nothing. That's what it's going to amount to. So you're running down other people's mashayikh. Not directly, but indirectly. And if you're going to run down other mashayikh, then you're going to get lost. You will be the loser again. You praised him in such a way that it amounted to running down others' mashayikh. So what happens? They are also mashayikh, they are also awliya. When they are mashayikh and awliya, you have run them down. So what happens? You have lost. So both ways you lost. So simple thing is, for my need is the best, I hold on to him, then I don't run around. And say, no, I can get something here also, get something here as well, can't get something here as well. You're going to have that approach, then you're going to get lost right through. What could have been accomplished in 1 hour, sometimes 1 year will pass, you won't get the same thing, you won't get it. Because your mind is wandering around. So what could have been accomplished in 1 hour, you won't accomplish in 1 year. So the need for tawheed matlab. And then the common theme that we need to have, like I said, Abdan Shakura. Leave all this supernatural feats and dreams and experiences and all that. Don't put your mind to that. You'll put your mind to that, you'll get lost. Okay. That is not what Allah Pak asked you. He will give it to you, in time he'll give it to you. But he didn't ask you for it. When he didn't ask you for it, then why put your mind to it? What he asked you for, you do that. One student is studying in the madrasa, and he comes and tells you every day one dream, and second dream, and third dream. So you start with asking, but you did your homework. You did your assignments. You learnt your door. So the ustad would reprimand him, but leave your dreams. Tell me about you did your work, your assignment, you did your homework. This is what you are here for, not for all his dreams and all that. The ustad also get tired of his dreams. Ustad want to know if he did the work. So you also get tired of that. So same, Allah doesn't want you to run after dreams and supernatural things. He wants you to do work. And you're doing the work, you want the cause. That's a niyat. You're doing your work. The dream will come in its own way. The supernatural things will come in their own time, in their own way, in their own place they will come. So don't run behind these things. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Today we'll discuss some of the adab of the masjid. That when coming to the masjid, one should come gracefully and walking. One should not come rushing and running to the masjid. Then one should come wearing dignified and respectable clothing. And if there is any odor on a person's body, or he has a foul smell coming out of his mouth, then he should try and remove that and apply some itar before coming into the masjid. Then when a person enters the masjid, then enter with the right foot, reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bismillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then recite the masnoon dua, Allahumma ftahli abwaba rahmatik. Then a person should make the niyat of nafil i'tikaf when he enters the masjid. Then once a person enters the masjid, then if it is not any makruh time for salah, a person should try to perform two rakats, tahiyyatul masjid, and find a place right in the front saf, in the first saf. If there is no place there, then the saf that follows it, but try to get a place in the front of the masjid. Then whilst waiting for salah, engage yourself in some zikr, some tilawat, etc. But make sure that your tilawat or your zikr do not disturb other musallis or other people who are in the masjid. Keep it at a low tone, at a low voice. Then whilst in the masjid as well, don't speak of anything that is dunyawi, any worldly things or things that are unnecessary. If it is something that is necessary or it is something that is dini, then a person can speak of it. Then if you find any dirt, then pick up the dirt. And also, if a person is not in i'tikaf, then such a person should not consume any food or drink anything in the masjid. Rather, that should be done outside. And if a person needs to pass wind, etc., then a person shouldn't do it in the masjid, a person should do it out. Then if there are two people sitting next to each other and there is a small gap, then a person shouldn't squeeze himself between those two people, causing them the cliff. But rather, a person should sit behind, and at the time when the safs are being made before the namaz, if there is a gap, now a person can go and stand in between them. And then also a person should not crack his knuckles, or whilst waiting for salah in the masjid, a person should not intertwine his fingers and sit, because this is also regarded as makruh. And then upon that, where you place the fingers of both hands between each another, so this is also makruh to do whilst a person is in the masjid. Then when leaving the masjid, leave the masjid with the left foot, and again reciting durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and reciting the masnoon dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik.